Track 18, Neil's Last Word. So now we come to our final piece this month. And as always, Neil will have the last word.
They say I'm not as well face the truth, but I'm just too long in the tooth. I started to deteriorate.
You have to be so careful what you say these days. Talking about my school days recently, I referred to my headmaster. I was reminded that it's not PC to say that, it's head teacher. Okay, I suppose the title is a label for the job, not the gender. I know we've moved on and much in our education system has improved, but some aspects I'm not so sure for the better. Mind you, it's probably not fair to compare what I experience at school with something I only see from the outside. Maybe I'm being a dinosaur, but I do feel the traditional desks in rows were better than the modern idea where they sit in groups around a table. Surely the more formal layout was better for teaching and discipline. Having said that, we did manage to have some fun in lessons. We were adept at sidetracking the history master. Oops, teacher! From the Napoleonic Wars to the discussion on whether Cowdrey should be included in the England cricket team to tour Australia. And I remember an English teacher who was most difficult to divert from his objective of teaching us, but we got him. I can't remember how the subject cropped up, but he advanced the theory that there was no such thing as time. I don't recall the logic behind his thinking, but he claimed scientists had put it forward and he agreed with them. We raised such things as the phases of the moon and pointed out the sun popped up each day and disappeared every evening, and the cycle seemed to have been chopped up into 24 satisfactory segments. After some debate, he tried to call a halt, saying, "We must get on now. We haven't got time for this." Immediately we pointed out that, according to him, there was no such thing as time, so surely we could carry on indefinitely. He copped out by declaring that until the world adopted his theory, we had to play the game by the prevailing rules. I don't know why I remember this particular incident. Anyway, I haven't heard the theory mentioned since, but with the pace of life today, we are so beholden to time, it often comes to mind. But is it me, or has time become much more precise over the past few years? I reckon it's all due to digital gizmos. For me, a clock with hands paints a gentle picture of time. The big hand's on the 10 and the little hand on the 2 tells me it's just after lunch. If the big hand is just past 10, time becomes a bit flexible. Just gone 10 to 2. A digital clock will clinically tell you it's 13:51. We have deadlines to meet, buses to catch, appointments to keep, and programmes to watch. Time comes at us from everywhere. I stood at the freezer the other day, sorting through frost-encrusted food. Shady Pines head matron had decided catering was having a night off, and we'd be having a quick meal. Something that could be shoved in the microwave and cooked. Or should that be heated? Rapidly. I had narrowed it down to one pizza which took 18 to 20 minutes and another which needed 16 to 18 minutes. Pretty tough decision, eh? And there are so many gadgets to remind us of time. From my armchair, I can see a clock on the mantelpiece, a clock on the TV box. I have the time on my wrist and on my mobile. If I venture into the kitchen, it's on the cooker, on the microwave. And I have the radio on. There are regular time checks. On my phone, I can see what time it is in Egypt. Set timers and alarms. In case I sleep through the alarm, I can set the snooze function. Honestly, our entire lives are organised around time. There must be a better way. I'll try and find it, if I could only find the time.
Thank you very much for that, Neil. And I've just noticed that you have managed to bookend this April edition. Congratulations.